To Matthew, the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 11. Matthew, chapter 11. And I suppose as you do, this three little verses I'm just going to look at, and they have been probably preached on by everybody and over the years. It's like the really big songs, you know, that have a timeless quality about them, like, you know, White Christmas. Everybody wants to record White Christmas, My Way, Amazing Grace, and all these people are feel to put their own individual rendering on them. And the Lord Jesus has some great sayings when he was on the earth, you know, probably thousands of times. You know, he said lots of things that were full of absolute truth. But I think the little verses we're going to look at tonight struck a special chord and continue to do with some people. They just have a lovely quality about them. So in Matthew chapter 11, chapter 11, verse 28 to 30, very, very familiar verses. And it says, "Come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you, and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and you shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light." And just the Lord would bless his word. Just those three verses we're going to look at there. And first of all, I suppose, if we're looking at the situation, if somebody is here tonight and they don't know Jesus Christ as their own personal Saviour, these words are definitely an invitation for you, because if you just look at Matthew 11 and verse 1, it says, "Come unto me, all you that labour and are heavy laden." And that describes absolutely many people out there in the world, doesn't it, today? And, you know, people are heavy and weary, heavy laden, for one reason or another in life. And you know, sometimes if you're on the street and you see people passing by, you can actually see it in their faces, the worry and the heavy laden quality. And so what the Lord is saying is, "Come unto me, all you who are weary," and it's an invitation to everybody to come unto him. So, you know, people worry about things like sorrow from the past. Maybe it's something in the past is continuing to come up and causing sorrow. And, you know, and every time you think about something, you have this sorrow. Or it could be something that's going on right now in your life, a present crisis maybe. And then some people fear for the future, what's going to happen in the future. And so people are very heavy laden and burdened about different things. And the very first thing the Lord says is, "Come unto me." And he said that years ago to the little children. He said, "Suffer not the children to come unto me. I will." And then he says, "If you do," Jesus says, "I will give you a rest. I will give you a rest." And so that's what we're going to look at there. What's he mean by that? "I will give you a rest." And it's a lovely expression, isn't it? Even the words, you know, have a soothing effect. Just listen to that. "I will give you a rest." And if you look at the end of verse 29, then he says, "You will find rest unto your souls." And again, he uses the same word, "rest unto your souls." And that's an interesting expression, isn't it? Do you ever think about your soul or spirit? Nowadays, there's plenty of rest for the body, isn't there? People are very much into holidays and, you know, all kinds of leisure activities. Nothing wrong with them necessarily, but, you know, it's kind of overdone in lots of ways, I suppose. And people pamper themselves, you know, every kind of things, you know, new houses, cars, you know, all that sort of stuff. And again, nothing wrong with everything like that in moderation, but there's plenty of rest for the body, in other words, but precious little for the soul. And that's what the Lord is looking at here. And there was a man in the Bible called Solomon. He was the wisest and richest man that ever lived. And in the book of Ecclesiastes, you can read about, he tried absolutely everything this world has to offer. You know, he had men servants and women servants. He had music, and he tried learning, and he tried houses and lands, vineyards, castles. And he tried mirth, you know, laughter. And at the end of it all, he said, "It's all vanity, you know, chasing after the wind." And he could have afforded absolutely everything that the world has to offer. And yet, at the end of it all, he was disappointed. It left him flat. And so a lot of people are like that. They go in for all the things that the world has to offer. You know, the inner peace that they're looking for doesn't really come through all those things. I remember a number of years ago, the family bought me and I a ticket to Canada, some of you in lovely parts of the world, the Rocky Mountains for 10 days, and we went, it must have been 10 years ago maybe, and we travelled up from Calgary up to the Rockies, Banff and all those lovely places, stayed in a few of those places, and it's around this time of the year, September, the ski season is just about to start, and but I remember we met a couple, and they were kind of professional holiday makers. They were going from one place to another, and had more or less retired and young enough, and they were just planning where they were going to go next year, and their whole conversation was about that. And we spent a bit of time with them, but you know, they were trying to get rope us in to get into the same kind of lifestyle, and you know, we want to have a lot of money for one thing, which we didn't have. But anyway, that was what they were looking for. So they were looking for that rest for the soul, and like everybody else, like Solomon, chasing after what the world had to offer. And all the time Jesus is saying, come unto me and I will give you rest. And if that describes you here this evening, on a quest for that rest for your soul, you're in the right place. And so how do you come to him then? Well, and again in the Matthew 18 verse 3, if you just look at it there, it's just a few chapters on, 18 verse 3, Jesus said, I say to you, I say, unless you're converted and become as little children, you shall not enter into the kingdom of heaven. And what he was talking about there was, you will not, unless you're born again, and he says it in John chapter 3 and verse 3, unless a man is born again, he will not see the kingdom of heaven. That's the same thing as what he was saying there in Matthew 18:3. You know, unless you're born again of trusting in Jesus Christ as your Savior, you're not going to get to heaven when you die. And so that's why you come to the Lord. You have to be born again, and you won't have that rest for your soul until you are born again. And become as little children, because a little child can understand, a child of 8 years old can understand the gospel, you know, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you will be saved. And Jesus said, "If you come, whoever believes in me can come to me, can trust in me, will believe, can be saved there and then." And it's a very simple idea, and it's becoming as little children in simple childlike faith, trusting the Lord Jesus as your own personal Savior from sin. And that's how you get the rest for your soul if you're in that situation this evening. It's just to trust Jesus Christ. He's the one. He says, "Come unto me." And he says, don't, you know, it's not in a church. It doesn't say come to a particular church or a particular creed or, you know, statement of what people believe in, or a man or any a religion, clergyman, but to Christ. You know, it means to come to me, Jesus said. Just come to me as a person. And we'll look at that a bit more. What does it actually mean? It means that you acknowledge, first of all, that you're a lost sinner. And I don't think most people would have a problem with that. Romans 3:23 says, all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. And that means all, including me and you and everybody else that comes into the world. We're all sinners on our way to a lost eternity. And we're going to fall short of the glory of God, which means getting into heaven when we die. And we cannot do anything to get right with God either. And like the good thief on the cross, do you remember the two people on each side of the Lord Jesus on the cross? The good thief, as we call him, and the bad thief. The good thief, he was dying for his sins, and a murderer could have been, or certainly a criminal, a serious criminal, because he was up there on the cross being punished for his sins. And he had been listening to Jesus and the interaction with Jesus and the people around the cross, and at the very end, just before his life expired, he said to Jesus, "Remember me when you come into your kingdom." And Jesus said to him in reply, "Today you will be with me in paradise." And it's that simple trust. And that man, you know, had no time to practice being a good person or doing a good life or doing any kind of good deeds. And that's what we have to do: put your full trust in Christ and nothing else. And when you do that, you'll have rest for your soul, and your burden of sin, you know, will be removed. And because sin is a burden, and that, you know, come unto me all you who are weary and heavy laden. It's actually sin that does it mostly, you know, an awful lot of the time. I know there are trials and things that come that cause burdens, but a lot of it is sin, and Well, when you trust Jesus Christ, that sin then, or that rest comes to your life. The rest of salvation. I suppose my own story was, becoming a Christian, becoming a born again believer. I was in the Catholic Church for the first 30 years of my life, and I was going to Mass and all the things that people do, and I suppose reasonably religious, and got married then, and me and I started going to Mass regularly every day, and but we felt there was something missing, and we didn't have had that burden, we felt that we needed something more. There was something missing, didn't know what it was, but we absolutely knew the Bible had the answer, and we were looking for a Bible study, which we eventually found. And after about 2 years, I suppose, a bit of a search then, going through different things, and eventually we heard the gospel, Romans 10, 9 and 10, if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that Christ raised, God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For by grace, and then there's couple of verses that spoke to us very much, were Ephesians 2, 8 and 9, for by grace are you saved through faith, that's something you believe, as in Jesus Christ, obviously, and not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. And those verses really spoke to us, and we got saved, absolutely. And so we walked away from the religion that we're involved in. We still have lots of friends, family in that religion, and we're, seeking to share with them. But we had that burden lifted. I remember, it's just a wonderful thing. You have a burden thereof, and it's the burden of salvation, or the rest of salvation that comes into your life. It's a free gift. That's what Jesus said, I will give you rest. It's not something we can earn. Jesus, I'll give it to you. It's a free gift. As the rest, it's available to every man, woman on the earth, whosoever. The Bible says in John 3:16, the most well-known Bible verse in the Bible, I suppose. The Gideon organization all over the world have that verse at the beginning of the Gideon Bibles that will be circulated in all the schools now in Ireland in the next couple of months. John 3:16, God so loved the world that he gave his only son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. And whosoever, that says, and that includes me, you, and if you're here tonight that you don't know Christ as your Savior, that includes you. And so you could leave here with that rest flooding your soul. And I just, that's more or less the invitation to people. And but Christ goes on then, and he says a little bit more. And this is really, kind of following on what he has just said. We presume now a person has listened and has decided to believe what the Lord says, and has taken the Lord Jesus Christ as their own Savior, and have experienced that rest of salvation. And then he says, take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and you will find rest unto your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. So now you've come to Christ and you're saved and you have rest for your soul, and a lot of Christians stop there then and they carry on. But there's a rest then, a second rest, if you like, that comes when you're a Christian, because life can, you can get weighed down with things in life even as a Christian. And so what the Lord is saying then is, I want you to come now and to learn more about me and to take my yoke. A yoke is something that two animals put on when they walk together to plough. Two oxen in the old time, that's what they used to do, used to plough together. And so what the Lord is saying, if you come to me now and to learn of me and let me become part of your life. And so what he's asking for is to commit your life to me. That's what Jesus is saying. Take my yoke upon you. And, the Bible would say that in different places. Beseech your brethren. In Romans it says that that you beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercy of God, you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is a reasonable service. And that's a committal of your life to God, to Christ. And so that's a very important thing then. Because a lot of people, especially maybe young folk, when they get saved and then they go out in life and they start maybe going to university or wherever, and they find this Christian life isn't as easy as I thought it was, and it's hard, they kind of, they start to get a bit burdened about being Christian, being different and all that sort of thing. But so what Christ is saying here is the way that what he's looking for then is to get yoked at that point, for the person to get to hand over your life and to consecrate your life to him. And he says, if you do, it'll be easy and light. To be a Christian, being a committed Christian won't be a hard thing. Now that's hard enough to understand, I suppose, because for Christians I'm talking about now, because on one hand the Bible says everyone that live godly in Christ Jesus will suffer persecution. Everyone. Now that's in Timothy. So how do you reconcile that with Jesus saying, well, you know, if you get committed to me, your life is going to be, you're going to find it easy and light. Well, the answer is, I was thinking about that for a while, when we accept the Lord's invitation to take his yoke upon us, you're making a conscious decision then to separate from the world to the Lord, and you're not promised a life of ease, but it won't seem hard anymore because you've made a decision to fully follow the Lord, and that's the key. And so what makes the Christian life hard is trying to keep a foot in both worlds and in both camps, and that's what happens to a lot of Christians. They're inclined to keep a foot in both camps, and so when we make that decision in a rational, cool way to follow Christ, even difficult things then seem easy and light. And that's what Jesus was saying, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. So that's really, I suppose, you know, it's two aspects sort of in that little set of verses there now. And Jesus said in the previous chapter, in chapter 10, verse 39, if you look at that verse there, he says more or less the same thing. He says, he that finds his life shall lose it, and he that loses his life for my sake shall find it. And what he's saying there is, if you really get yoked with me and committed to me and to learn of me, you'll actually find the real meaning of life. And you might be losing your life in the sense that you're handing over to me, if you like, but you're actually finding the real life. And the Bible bears that out in many places. Blessed is Psalm 1, blessed is the man that walks not in the counsel of the ungodly. His delight is in the law of the Lord. Blessed is everyone that fears the Lord and walks in his ways. And that's delighting yourself in the Lord, is making that decision, to get yoked to the Lord. And so, just finally then, just to recap quickly, if you're here tonight and you don't know the Lord, if you're weary and heavy laden, come to Jesus, believe on him as your saviour from sin, and you'll find rest for your soul. That's absolutely a guarantee from the Lord. And so if you're finding as a Christian then, to move on, and if you're here like most of us are, I suppose, tonight, if you're finding a Christian life hard, the thing to consider then is the second part there, to take Jesus' yoke on you and get committed to him. If you're labouring and heavy laden, trying to live the Christian life, hanging on to the world maybe in some way, why not accept his invitation? Take my yoke upon you and learn of me. And now that this year's evenings are starting to shorten, the days are shortened, now is a good time to make a commitment like that, and you'll find rest for your soul, peace, contentment, real satisfaction. And it's not a hard life when you're in step with the Lord. That's how the Lord can say, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Now, on the other side of that kind, the Bible says the way of transgressors is hard. You know, so you might say that's hard. Well, the life without the Lord is hard. You know, the way of transgressors, the Bible says, is a hard life. And the last thing then I'll just say is that there's a second important aspect of the yoke, and that it doesn't mean that there are no problems, trials that will come in a Christian's life. It does mean that we don't have to bear them alone, because a yoke is it's for two. It's for two. And when you get yoked to the Lord, you know, you have the help of him, of the Lord Jesus Christ, with you all the time. And so you don't have to bear them alone. The Lord will be with you to bear them. We're yoked to one who gives, and he says, I'll give you sufficient grace for everything that you need. And there's a man called, there's a quotation, and I'll just finish on this. A man called J.W. Jowett, a famous Christian writer, and he says, the fatal mistake for the believer is to seek to bear life's load in a single collar, you know, like one animal ploughing, you know, instead of two. God never intended a man or a woman to carry his burden alone. Christ therefore deals only in yokes. That's what he says. A yoke is a neck harness for two, and the Lord himself pleads to be one of the two. He wants to share the labour of any galling task, hard task. The secret of peace and victory in the Christian life is found in putting off the taxing collar of self and accepting the Master's relaxing yoke. And that was from a man called J.W. Jowett. So, Father, we just want to thank you for your words tonight, and we thank you for these words of Matthew 11, a very well-known set of verses. Come unto me, all you who labour and heavy laden, I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you, learn of me. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light, and you will find, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. And we have found that to be true, Lord. Many of us tonight, when we come to you as unsaved men and women, we have found the burden that was lifted from us because of sin and because of the fact that we were lost, and then we had that rest of salvation. And we thank you now that we can experience the further rest of walking with you day by day and being yoked with you and learning from you more and more as we go through life. And we just pray that you'll encourage us all tonight and in different ways, whichever situations applies here. And so we commit it to you now and thank you again just for being here for this short time tonight to listen to your word. And thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.